Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Why don't you find Judges chapter 6 tonight? We'll start there. I've been talking about peace, the peace of God, faith and peace. And so tonight I want to continue that on. I want to talk tonight about how He is our peace. So we can always have peace because He's always going to be around. And so let's just begin. I'm going to look at some scripture tonight, but I think we'll see. But I know we're going to begin here. Judges chapter 6 and verse 24. Got it? One, two people. All right. I'll wait a little bit. All right. All I got is time here, you know. Amen. Until the rapture takes place. I hope you find it by then, by the way. Judges chapter 6, verse 24. The Bible says, "Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and he called it," and the King James uses the actual Hebrew here, actually the rendering from the Hebrew, "Jehovah Shalom." And unto this day it's in Ophrah of the Abizarites. Now, Jehovah Shalom, you got a modern translation. It translates it out for you, and it means the Lord is peace, or the Lord is our peace. Ephesians says that, talking about Jesus, He is our peace. So as long as we have Him, we can have peace. And so I want to talk about that tonight, about how He is our peace. The Bible calls Him the Prince of Peace. And it says of this, "Of the increase of His kingdom and of peace, there will be no end." So I've just learned, you know, I just from experience over the years, that the more I let the Lord have His way in my life, the more peace I have. Now, you know, sometimes we have a battle with the flesh and with the spirit. Or am I the only one? Anybody else have that battle? Well, your flesh wants to do one thing, and your spirit's, your heart, is telling you something else. And so, and the flesh will always tell you, it's better my way, doesn't it? It never tells you obey God. Yes, that's what I think we have to understand, is that, you know, our mind is kind of in the middle. Remember that old song, "Stuck in the Middle with You"? That's kind of where our mind is at. It's stuck in the middle between our body and our spirit. That's why we have to renew our mind so it sides in with the spirit. See, if it, you know, the body, now, you know, and I believe you can train your body. Don't misunderstand me. But Paul was still working on his in 1 Corinthians 9. So I got a feeling we got a few more years to work on ours. And so the body, you know, the body might want something, but it's not the will of God, and the spirit man, who has the Holy Spirit inside of him, is speaking on the inside of you, and he's saying no. And so your mind has to be renewed to side in with the right one, because it's the one that's going to make your decisions. We'd all like to think that we always make all of our decisions by our spirit. Well, we can, but it goes through the mind. The mind has to, he's the one that's controlling things up here. And so Now, you know, I don't want to make it sound like, you know, our spirit doesn't have any control or anything like that, but I'm just simply saying the mind makes the decision and he has to be renewed or he makes the wrong decision. And so, anyway, the more we allow Jesus to have His way in our life, the more of His government there is in our life, the more of the increase of His government there is in our life, the more peace there will be in our life. You know, people make dumb decisions. We've all made dumb decisions. Anybody made a decision and said, that was dumb? Anybody made a decision and your wife told you that was dumb? And how many know most of the time she's right? And so anyway, we all make dumb decisions, and so we all do that. But thank God, we can recover, amen. And so Jesus can't just be our Savior; He has to be Lord. which means I make, you know, there's times I go do things that I don't want to go do, but I go do them because I think the Lord wants me to do them. There's times I travel and go places to preach that honestly, I don't want to go. So sometimes on the mission field, when I go on some of those trips, I don't want to go. If I did what I wanted to do, I wouldn't ever go. Because you know what I like to do? There's two places I like to be. Other than church, put church aside, there's two places I like to be. Both of them's home. Okay, that's just my personality. A vacation for me, stay home. Shut the phone off. Amen. Detach from everything. That, you know, Disney World's not a vacation for me. That's punishment. Now, everybody thinks different. You know, yep, somebody may love doing that kind of thing, but that's not a vacation. Going, and I know the Stevensons like to go camping, but going camping for me, that's not a vacation. Now, maybe if you got a nice camper, like Phyllis and I stayed in a camper recently, and yeah, I could stay in that one. It's got air conditioning. It's got a stove. It's got a refrigerator. It's got a shower. I can handle that. You know what I'm saying? It's like a hotel room. So we can do that. But staying in a tent, thank you. No, I'm not having that. So I've been invited to go places before, and it's like my flesh didn't want to go, and so I checked with the Lord, and he said, go. And that's not what I wanted to hear. How many ever had that when God tells you to do something, and you ask, is there anybody else up there? Can I talk to somebody else? How many know? But you know what? If you disobey God, you short circuit the peace of God. And so you don't want to do that. You want to obey him, because even if your flesh doesn't want it, peace will follow. Amen. And so, so there's things that I do in life. There's things things I do in ministry that I really don't want to do. In the natural and in the flesh, I don't want to do it. But because the Lord said do it, it's brought me peace because he said to do it. Amen. I'd rather have that. How about you? Amen. So when we allow his word to govern in our life, when we allow that, then the peace of God gets stronger in our life. Amen. And so he's the Prince of Peace. Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah 54:10 that we have a covenant of peace. A covenant of peace. So God's made a covenant of peace with us. Jesus told us, you know this, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not, it's up to you now, let not your heart be troubled. So you have to accept the peace. You have to be the one that says, I'm not going to be troubled by this. You do. Amen. Not God. You and I have to make that decision. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, the world tries to give us peace through a lot of different things, you know, and all, but none of it really. Peace of mind that you got, you know, you bought an extra, warranty coverage on your vehicle. Well, they'll tell you, man, you have peace of mind. You got an extra warranty on your vehicle. Peace of mind. Well, how many know that's the world's peace? God gives us peace that supersedes that. You ever notice how you're covered till you have an accident? That's not covered. So it's good to know God, isn't it? Because how many know he's got us covered under the shadow of his wings? Amen. So Jesus said, John 16:33, he said, these things I've spoken unto you that in me you can have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but be a good cheer, I've overcome it. So I read that and it dawned on me. If we make life about Jesus, we're going to have peace. If we make it about the world, what's going on in the world, we're going to have trouble. Yeah. Amen. So peace, listen to this. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace, listen, I'm going to say it again. Peace is not the absence of trouble. It's the presence of a person. And that person is Jesus. So when he's in our life, how many know we can have peace? Amen. When he came into my life, I got peace. I've talked about it. I think I talked about it Sunday morning, maybe a little bit. It might have been Sunday morning. But I was talking about how when you live the way that some of us lived, you didn't have a whole lot of peace because you were breaking multiple laws. Anybody can identify with that? You're breaking laws maybe every day. You could go to jail. You could be arrested and things like that. And so, you know, and it's just the grace of God that some of us are still alive. It is His grace. But anyway, you don't have peace that kind of lifestyle. But when I met Jesus, I started having peace. Praise the Lord. Amen. 2 Thessalonians, listen to this. This is out of the NLT. It says, now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace, give you His peace at all times, listen to this, and in every situation, the Lord be with you all. Well, if the Lord's with me, how many know I can have peace? I can have peace. Amen. Sometimes we don't know how to do something in the natural, and we got somebody with us that knows how to do it. We can have a lot of peace. You know, I was working on something for the ministry, for the a meeting we're having coming up, and I was trying to do something that I'm not gifted to do. There's certain things I'm gifted to do. Most things I'm not. You know how the Bible talks about one guy got one talent, one got five, and one got 10? I'm the one guy, okay? Maybe that's not so, but it's relatively close there. Anyway, so I'm, you know, and the more I thought about this, the more I thought about, you know, planning this out, the less I had peace about it. And I thought, why did I do this to start with? Why did I even say I'd do this? This doesn't work for me. And it's just like, I didn't like hear a voice, but just all of a sudden, God dropped somebody's name in this church in my spirit. Go dump it off on, now God didn't say this, but I did. Go dump it off on him. And so I talked to him. I said, hey, look, I don't. This is not my game. Can you do this? Oh, yeah, man. I mean, hit the ground running. Praise the Lord. Let's go for it. And I just believe he'll do an excellent job. But it wasn't me. It just robbed me of peace because I just didn't have peace. But you know what? When we got Jesus, no matter what we face comes our way, we can have peace because we got somebody on our side who's with us. So the Lord gives us peace in all things, in every situation, at all times, we have peace. That pretty much covers everything. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen? So, you know, when we talk about peace, sometimes we can think, yeah, God's gonna get rid of this out of my life, and He's gonna get rid of that out of my life, and then I'll have peace. But no, you can have peace before all that stuff goes. Matter of fact, if you have peace, it'll probably leave sooner. Peace is a powerful force. Amen. And so let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Let's go over there to the book of Galatians, the fifth chapter. And I want to talk about something here out of Galatians 5. But He is our peace, everybody. Amen. Jesus is our peace. And we have peace in Him. Once again, peace is not the absence of trouble. It's the presence of a person. And that person's Jesus. If Jesus is in your life, you can have peace. Yes. Amen. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, and it's what? It's peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Against these, there's no law, all right? So here we have, what we have here is a package that you received when you got born again. All these things came with the born-again experience. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. You say, I have no self-control. Yeah, you do. It came with the package. You have to yield to it. You have to walk in the Spirit, see? And so this is a package. You know, you buy a car, they got different packages on them, you know? You want the leather package, you want this package. I was sitting in the dealership yesterday, had to have some maintenance stuff done on my truck, and I'm just sitting there waiting for them to give me a shuttle ride to go where I was going to go. And so I'm just sitting in this, and you know, I'm listening to this salesman talk to this guy about this vehicle that's on the showroom floor, you know, and he's talking about, he said, I have, and it's equipped with a certain, I don't know what he called it, but it's high technology. it's operated by a satellite. He said, literally, you can go down the interstate and not drive this vehicle. It will self-drive itself. Okay. He said, I wouldn't do that in town. He said, but on the internet, he said, literally, you can do that. You don't have to have your hands on the wheel. You don't have to have your foot on the gas. You don't have to use the brake. You just let this thing go. He says, I've got it. He said, it works. I use it all the time. He said, it even has a camera watching you. If you fall asleep, it will wake you up. It knows when you fall asleep. So and it's a package that comes on. I'd never heard of it. How many of y'all ever heard of that? You know what I'm talking? I mean, I just want to know, does it have a CD player? You know, they don't have it now, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, and he said, you know, it's a package. And he said, you know, you get it for free. I'm listening to tell this guy. He said, you get this for 3 years for free. Okay, 3 years. It was 3 years. You get it for free for 3 years. After that, you have to pay a subscription, he said, because it operates on the satellite. Well, that's a high-tech package. Let me know when you got born again, you got a package. You got a lot of things. So one of the things you got was the fruit of the Spirit. And one of those things is peace. And I've told you my testimony many times about how that's one of the first things I recognized that showed up in my life when I got saved. I no more got home. I mean, you know, maybe an hour after I'm born again, I'm back to the house. I'm sitting on the edge of my bed. And the first thing that I think of is I've never had peace like this before in my life. Why? I got a package. It came with the born-again experience. And all these other things did too. Now, some of those, you know, I like to say it this way. I think in my life, the first three things that showed up was love, joy, and peace. They were the first three things I noticed. I could tell a difference in my life. I had peace, I had more love, and I had joy. Now, some of the other stuff, long-suffering and temperance and, you know, self-control and all that, some of those gentleness, kindness, it took a little while for that stuff to begin to manifest. You don't believe me, get some of my real old preaching tapes, and you'll find out that I still needed some help. But anyway, and God's still working on us, amen? But it was there, I just wasn't yielding to it. How many know what a yield sign is for? It means you're supposed to yield to oncoming traffic. Well, the Bible says, the King James says it this way, yield yourselves to the Lord. Yield yourselves, present your bodies, yield your members unto the Lord in Romans 6. You yield yourself. In other words, you have a choice of which way you're going to go, and you have to choose to yield to the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. There's no, and some of you won't know this name, but there's no Flip Wilson theology in the Bible. Anybody old enough remember the comedian Flip Wilson? What was his famous saying? The devil made me do it. How many know the devil makes us believers do nothing? Paul said we can either yield to righteousness or we can yield to unrighteousness. So when the fruit of the Spirit, you know, when you get born again, the fruit of the Spirit comes into you, but it has to be yielded to. You have, you know, so I just cannot stop eating apple pie. Yes, you can. One thing, you need to change your mouth. Because you're saying something contrary to what the Bible says. It says the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. How many are born again? How many have the Holy Spirit in you? Then you have self-control in you. It's inside of you. You just got to choose to yield to it. Yep. Amen. All right, since everybody's convicted now, how many you don't have to raise your hand. How many just say, you know, I've blown out a time or two? You would not believe. It's like I told a guy, I ran into a preacher. I was at a church, and I ran into a preacher. I didn't know he was there. And I don't think I knew he was there. But anyway, I walked out into the, it's right before the service start. I walked out into the entry area, the vestibule, the area. And we just almost bumped right into one another. And I hadn't seen him in years. And he looked at me, he said, man, you're looking great. And I said, well, I should be. I've been losing weight for 35 years. And he laughed because he understood that, you know. Because really the problem is there's never been a quality decision. Oh, I've made a quality decision at times and lost weight when I was trying to lose weight and kept it for a while. But how many of you got to make that decision every day? Yeah. You know, if it was a one-time decision, man, it's easy to make, especially after you overeat. It's like, tomorrow is a different day for me. But how many know, you really do have inside of us, we really don't have any excuse. We can't blame it on the devil. We can't blame it on anything else. We have the fruit of the Spirit called, the King James calls it temperance, which means self-control. So we do have self-control inside of us. It's by the Holy Spirit. How many think the Holy Spirit has authority over food? Yes. How many think He's got the mastery over it? Yes. Amen. How many think when we get to heaven, see, that's one of the reasons Pastor Jerry got saved, because the pastor told him about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said, I'm all in for that. Yeah, it's free. And so that kind of was one of the things that reeled him in, is the marriage supper of the Lamb. But how many understand when we get to heaven, I'm hopeful that they have some of the stuff that we have down here on earth. How many think that Oreos should be in heaven? Right. I don't know whether God thinks that or not. But anyway, He probably has something better. How many believe that? So one of the things you got when you got born again is you got peace. So it's part of your born again package. Now, look at Galatians chapter 3. And I want to read a couple of verses there. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Bible says, Christ hath, past tense, redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. Now, I've often told you that one of the good things to do is go back to Deuteronomy 28 and read about the curses. Like the first 14 verses of Deuteronomy 28 are all about the blessings. But the rest of it is about curses that come upon you for breaking the covenant. All right? But so how many know we all deserved the curse. All of us. But Christ came and redeemed us. And I wrote about this in the bulletin. I think it was last week or something. I wrote about this in the bulletin. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law in two different ways. Number one, He redeemed us from having to keep the law to be righteous, because we couldn't do it. So He came and kept it for us and imputed that to us. God imputed that to us. Number two, He came and redeemed us from the curses in the law for breaking the law. So when we see things like, you know, no matter what it is that comes our way, we're redeemed from it if it's a curse. Right. See, there's all kinds of things in there, all kinds of different things in there. And I know people say, well, I don't believe that this is under redemption. I've heard people say that, you know, this, I don't believe that Christ died to redeem you from that or died to redeem you from this. Let me tell you something. If it's bad and Christ didn't redeem us from it, there's no hope. But what how many believe that in the garden there wasn't any of those curses? Right? Christ came and put things back right. So every negative, bad thing that could happen to mankind, Jesus Christ redeemed us from it, or we're stuck with it through eternity. But the Bible said He reconciled all things to God in heaven and in earth. What does it mean? He set everything right by His blood. By His death on the cross. He said everything right. So I don't ever pay any attention to that. When somebody tells me, well, you know, this part is not under the, you know, your money's not under, it's not redeemed. Christ didn't die for your prosperity. You can't tell me that, because if He didn't, then we're stuck with poverty for eternity. He set us free from all of it. All right? You know, Christ didn't die for your sicknesses. Well, first of all, there's plenty of scriptures to teach us that He did. Secondly, if He didn't, then there's no way to get rid of it. Because if He didn't redeem us from it, who is going to redeem us from it? He redeemed us from death. How many know that? Now, what does that mean? Well, you listen, we may die if the Lord tarries, we may die physically, but we're coming back alive. Our body's coming back. Amen. So, and the Bible says that there's a day coming when death will be put under feet. So it's the last enemy to be put underfoot is death. And at the rapture of the church, that's put under our feet. How many know Jesus died, didn't He? Yeah. But when he was raised from the dead, he was raised immortal, never to die again. His body was different after. Think about it. I mean, he walked through a door. He could walk through a wall. That glorified body is different. His molecules line up. It's just different. You say, well, how's it different? I don't know. You'll have to ask God. But it's different. It's better. Amen. So anyway, Christ redeemed us from the curse. And one of the curses was in Deuteronomy 28, one of the curses was a lack of peace, mental torment, or mental suffering. Isaiah 53:5 says that Jesus was chastised, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. In other words, you could say it like this, the punishment for us to have peace was on Jesus. So at Calvary, well, the crown of thorns put on his head. And at Calvary, he bore that. He bore the curse of fear and worry and the lack of peace. He bore that so we could have peace. So he's our peace. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's our peace. So now when you think about this, how many know you can have physical suffering in your body, can't you? You go, something goes wrong with your body. You know, it doesn't, it's suffering, isn't it? It doesn't feel good. You know, you've got something going on. You're not up to par, you know. And so you can have that. But did you know you can have suffering in your mind? You can have mental suffering. Just like you can have, you know, before you're born again, you have spiritual suffering. You're suffering spiritually. But after you're born again, when you're born again, that's remedied, isn't it? I mean, but yet, Christ not only died. See, the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's the spiritual side of it. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. That's the mental side of it. And with his stripes, we're healed. That's the physical side of it. So he bore all three realms. He bore spiritual suffering, mental suffering, and physical suffering. So mental suffering. One thing worries mental suffering, isn't it? It's mental torment. It's mental punishment. Fear is mental suffering, isn't it? Lack of peace is mental suffering. God wants us to have peace. Amen. Once again, you can have peace even in the midst of trouble. You can still have peace in your mind. All right. So he bore that. That is the curse. When worry tries to come on us, lack of peace, fear, that's under the curse, folks. Christ bore that. I don't have to put up with that. I have to put my foot down and just say, no, you're not going to stay here. Amen. Jesus bore mine. Amen. And so if he bore it, why should I bear it? No need of us both bearing it, is there? Amen. So we got to be, how many know, Jesus said you got to be wise as serpents, don't you? Harmless as doves. Well, you got to have some wisdom about things and look at them the proper way. Don't let the world influence you. Don't let them tell you what to expect. Right? If I ever go to the doctor, you know, I've gone some. When I go to the doctor, now, all I need from him is to tell me what the problem is. I don't need him to tell me what to expect. Well, you can expect. Now, my expectation is God. Amen. And so we have to, you know, we have to be smart, right? We have to. We always have one granddaughter. Now, don't get offended. This is just a joke, okay? I don't see any real blonde people in here. But, you know, we tell blonde jokes, you know. I mean, you can't be a blonde spiritually. You heard about the blonde. She had dyed her hair brunette, but she was really a blonde, but she dyed her hair brunette. She went to the doctor, and she told the doctor, I hurt everywhere, all over my body. You know, every place I touch hurts. And he said, that's impossible. She said, well, look, I touched my wrist, ow. I touched my elbow, ow. I touched my shoulder, ow. I touched my ankle, ow. I touched my knee, ow. I touched my hip, ow. I touched my stomach, ow. Every place hurts. He said, well, let me examine you. He gets done examining. He says, are you an original brunette? She said, no, I'm really a blonde. He said, I thought so. He said, the problem with you is your fingers broke. How many know Anyway, I better leave it alone, hadn't I? Let's leave that alone. That, you know, that's kind of, that's just a funny, not all blondes are that way, by the way. Amen. I was born blonde. I was blonde as a kid, you know. But thank God I outgrew that. Hallelujah. No. Help me understand that we have to have wisdom from the Word, if you know, and find out what the Word says instead of getting our wisdom from the world. That's what the psalmist said, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen? Now, I'm not saying that what the everything the world says is ungodly. You understand that, but I'm making a point. I don't allow what they say as final authority in my life about anything. I go find out if the Bible says something different about me, all right? And so that's what I'm going to stand for. That's what I'm going to fight for. That's what I'm going to contend for. The Bible talks about fight the good fight of faith. So sometimes we have to fight a fight of faith, you know, because a sight doesn't look good. I mean, if you walk by sight, you'll probably always be discouraged. But if you walk by faith, if you pull this off, will you walk by faith in every area of your life? You're always going to be encouraged. Now, we're still working on that, I understand, but how many know we got to know the goal if we're going to be able to ever hit it? Right? I'd rather have the goal really high. How many would like that? And just go after that instead of lower the standard and say, well, I made it. It's like the other day I was reading in this article, and it's talking about the L.A. Marathon. Now, how many know a marathon is 26.2 miles? That's a marathon. But they decided that if you could make it to 18, they'd give you the medal. That's not a marathon. That's lowering the standard. I mean, that's pretty good. How many think 18's pretty good? I've never done 18. I've done 13, close to 14, but never 18. But so that's pretty good. But it's still not a marathon. You still didn't run the marathon. They lowered the standard. We don't want to lower the standard. I want to have the standard up where the Word says it's to be.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
You know, instead of just saying, well, that's good enough. No, I want to shoot for God's best, what He's promised me.
Amen.
And so Christians will try to talk you out of it. The world will try to talk you out of it. But don't be talked out of the standard of God. Amen.
Right.
All right, let's go to one last scripture. You get anything tonight? All right, go to Psalm 127. We're going to close there, Psalm 127. Amen. And let me just say this while we're passing by that. You know, don't condemn yourself because you're not at the highest level. I don't think any of us are. Paul said he was still pressing on, didn't he? And he said, if you're mature, and you read that in Philippians chapter 3, he said, if you're mature, you'll think this way. That wherever we've obtained, wherever we're at spiritually, let us keep pressing on because to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So no matter where we're at, there's more.
That's right.
Amen. And so, you know, I as you grow in the Lord, you know, I think God expects more out of you. You know, you expect more out of your 12-year-old than you do your 2-year-old. You know, I was putting on my dress pants tonight, and I reached in there and I got, there's a rock and a seashell in my pocket. All right, the rock and the seashell in my pocket. All right, now where'd that come from? It came from my great granddaughter. I had these pants on at church when I was down there on Sunday morning, and she found a rock, and she likes to give you rocks and seashells. She finds unique rock. So I put them in my pocket and I pulled that out. All right, that's cute. All right, but if Jeremy had given me that, I think he's slipping. Amen. Too much learning has made thee mad, Paul. Anyway, no, something's going wrong here. Right? See, it's cute on that level, right? But at his age, it's not cute any longer. It's like, what are you giving me this dumb rock and shell for? What am I supposed to do this? Now, with her, you keep it. You know what I'm saying? I've got some of those little things she found and give me. And on my desk at home, you know, where she gave those to me, you know, they're value wise, they're worthless, but they mean something to me because it's cute.
Yeah.
All right, and I think it's that way spiritually. You know, we're over here babes, and God thinks we're cute. You know, we do. You know, we finally find out a truth or two, But then we begin to grow, and as we begin to grow, you begin to expect more maturity, don't you? Yeah. Amen. So don't stay in the, and you're in redemption, don't stay in the babyhood side where you were people, there, I've seen people like this, I've been around this, where people just stay, where they want God to do everything, you know, by a gift of the Spirit. If they're going to get healed, it's going to have to be a gift of healing. Or I'm going to have me find me some specially anointed preacher. How many know God expects us to grow and eventually stand on our own two feet and stand on His Word? And fight the good fight of faith. So not everything, not every healing, not every deliverance is going to take place overnight. I didn't get as much amen on that one. But it's not, because sometimes we got to fight the fight of faith. We got to fight the fight of faith. So much of the church thinks it's all up to the Lord. The Lord's already paid the price at Calvary. He's already made it available. And we used to sing a song in Pentecost years ago, Come and Dine. The Master calleth, come and dine. It's up to us to come and dine. Jesus said, I knock at the door. If any man will open, I'll come and dine with you. You got to open. You got to do something. It's your faith that opens the door. So it's, you know, we got to go beyond just well, you know, I'm going to wait for it. And there's times that that's good. There's times that that happens where there's a gift of the Spirit that still, they still manifest. Even when you're older, sometimes you get healed by a gift of the Spirit. But you got to realize that if it doesn't come that way, that's not a no.
Right.
It's not a no.
Right.
Amen. You know, you got to realize I've still got God's Word.
Yep.
I can still fight the fight of faith.
Right.
I can still stand on what the Word says. And fight.
Amen.
Amen. And a lot of things, a lot of times I think people miss healing, and I'll teach on this sometime on a series on healing. That's on the runway too. But I think a lot of times people miss it because they don't seek God on what direction He wants them to take.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He's got multiple ways to get healing to you.
Yeah.
Gifts of the Spirit. But we know the Word works every time for everybody.
Yeah.
All right? You know, and there's times I've seen Him use doctors to help people and all that, you know, and all. But there may be times you probably shouldn't. Maybe times you know, there's times to have surgery. There's times to trust God. You need to know the difference. Well, how do I know that, Pastor? Well, that's called fellowshipping with Him and following your heart. How many know we should be led by the peace of God? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, you know. There's been times I've had peace about, you know, trusting natural means and using them, but there's been times it's like, no, I don't feel peace about that. This is all God or nothing. And He never fails. How many, if there's any failure, it's on us. You know, like either I missed it or God missed it. Wonder who that could be. You know, that's a pretty easy one to answer. How many know that? Either God missed it or I, how many know it wasn't God that missed it, you know. But too much of the church is over here in this area, like it's all up to the Lord. And if He doesn't do anything, then if He wants me healed, then I'll be healed. How many know we could say that about salvation? If God wants people saved, then they'll be saved. How many know that's not the way it works?
Right.
Somebody's got to go plant some seed. They got to receive the seed. They got to believe, and then they're saved.
Yep.
Amen. God just doesn't save people just beyond their will. They didn't want to be saved, but He saved them. I've heard all kinds of testimonies, good, bad, and ugly, all right? But I've never heard a testimony where somebody said, you know, I was walking down the street and God saved me. I didn't want to be saved. I'm mad about it, but I'm saved. What can I do? I'd say you need to be locked up somewhere. That's what we can do with you. See, you understand, because it doesn't, how many know we know it doesn't work that way, right? We know. What do we know? We know they got to hear the gospel. They got to hear the good news. And then they have to believe it. They have to accept it and receive it, and then they're saved. The same thing's true with all the promises of God. They just don't normally work that way, where they just automatically, now I have seen God. God is sovereign. I have seen people get healed that weren't expecting it, weren't believing for it. Thank God for His grace. But those are usually baby Christians or unbelievers. All right? Those of us that have heard the Word like we've heard the Word, we got to fight the good fight of faith.
Right.
Amen. Now, Psalm 127, we'll close right here. Psalm 127. The psalmist said this. He said in verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes in vain." So how many know it's vain for you to depend upon your own ability? It, verse 2, "It's vain for you to rise up early." How many believe in that for tomorrow morning? How many better apply the scripture right? Amen. "It's vain for you to sit up late." Pray that over Miss Phyllis, will you? "To eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep." So what does he mean? Well, it's vain for you to stay up, to get up early worrying. It's vain for you to stay up late worrying, because if the Lord doesn't do anything, you got problems. This can bring a lot of peace when you know you it's vain for you to worry about it. It's going to take God's power. David said in Psalm 4:8, he said, "I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for listen to this, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety." Now here's a man that wasn't living in a subdivision. You understand that? He wasn't living in a secure, gated community. He was living out in the open a lot of times. I know he was king, but there was times he was being chased by the king. He had people that wanted to kill him. You don't know how bad the Philistines wanted to kill David. You gotta read the Old Testament to know all this. And I've read the Old Testament many times. But I'm going to tell you, David was a big problem for the Philistines, the enemies of Israel. And they hated David, and they wanted to kill David. And they would have done anything to take David out. So everywhere David slept of the nighttime, he was basically an open target, either for the Philistines or Saul. And actually, Psalm 4 is written about when Absalom turned against him. But so all kinds of people were after David, because he was a man of war. But listen to what he said. See, I'm talking about, this isn't somebody who's just going to sleep in the subdivision and afraid there's going to be a boogeyman outside. This is a guy who had real enemies trying to take his life. I guarantee you there are recons into Israel to try to find out where he's at. You understand what I mean by recons? They sent Philistine soldiers in there. Find out where David's at. Let's get him. Saul chased him and said, "Where's he at?" He'd ask people, and they said, "Well, he's over here." He's always trying to find him to kill him. And David said, "I lay down and I sleep and I have peace, for the Lord keeps me safe." Hallelujah. Unless the Lord build the house, we're just laboring in vain. So we can have peace. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians. Matter of fact, let's close with this scripture. I said we'd close there, but let's go to one more. Actually, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me read this and we'll close right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 2. And verse 4, he said, "My speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." If you're going to have peace, you got to ask yourself, where's my faith at? Is it in the world? Is it in the wisdom of men? It is like I said, you may go to a doctor, but don't put your faith in the doctor. Put your faith in God. See, our faith shouldn't be in man's wisdom to solve our problems, but in God's power to do it. How many know He knows more than anybody knows? Amen. It's like I went, a doctor told me, he said, "Well, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this, and you need to cut that out and cut this out." And so, so I went to the Lord about it, because there was some things there I didn't really want to do. Now, I'll do it if I'm supposed to. And the Lord spoke to me, he said, "All you need to do is be moderate and use your faith." I said, "That's good enough for me." Yeah. You don't have to be radical. See, I believe God more than, I appreciate medical help, but I'm not going to put my faith in that.
Yeah. Right.
I appreciate what they can do, but I'm going to put my faith in God. Yeah. Amen. And I know he helps them. And I know he gives them wisdom. But see, everybody's different. You know what I mean? Y'all with me now? You know what may not work for you might work for me. What may work for me may not work for you. We're all made up different. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. You know? People say, well, I can't do this. Well, maybe you can't. Maybe you can't, but maybe I can. People say, I can't eat that. Well, maybe you can't. Maybe I can. See, there's certain things I've tried to eat over the years, you know, and it started messing with me. Now, so I just said, okay, you know, I'll just limit that and won't eat much of that because it's messing with my body. So I'm just saying, I hope you follow what I'm saying. I'm not confusing. Everybody's made different. So you better, so the one that knows your body more than anybody else is God.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. See, all this natural stuff changes. You ever notice how certain things were good 4 years ago, then they became bad for you, and then they became good for you again? Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many of you have ever seen that? Sure, I've seen that. And so they're just trying to do the best they can, but they're not God. And so I don't remember what it was now, Phyllis might, but there's one thing that we would eat, and it was good. It wasn't a bad food, but boy, it'd make my head feel funny. And I just like, man, I gotta leave that alone until I get my faith on that where I can eat it. And it's like, I don't really care that much about it to use my faith on it. I got other things to use my faith on besides that. I can leave that alone.
Yeah.
You know, I believe I could use my faith and maybe get where I wanted to eat if I wanted it bad enough, you know. And it was a good thing. It was a healthy thing, but it just messed with me every time I tried to eat it. And I'd like, man, I just feel weird. And so I just like, I got enough things to use my faith on. I just won't eat it. Now, you might be able to eat it in truckloads. So you better trust God, hadn't you?
Amen.
Better talk to God. Amen. Anybody that can knock a guy out, take a rib out, and make him a wife, I'm going to trust that doctor.
Amen.
I'm going to think he knows what he's doing. How many know God not only created the body, he can fix the body.
Yeah.
Amen. And he knows. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I've seen God use the word of knowledge to help people and tell them this is what's wrong with you. This is what you need to do. And people will change that and be blessed and be healed and be fixed. Amen. Because God knew all along. Amen. Well, peace. It's not just, an absence of trouble. It's a person. It's Jesus. He is our peace. If we have Jesus, we have peace. It's inside of us. Amen. We may not realize it, but it's in there. And our confession, our belief will bring it about. Let's all stand up. Thank God for his word tonight. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.